Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast, the show where we bring to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Roger's studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. So whether you're listening to us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. And this week, the movie in question is the 2008 animated grunt fest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Idiots and Angels. And I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking about the movie.
Ooh, right. Right.
No. I would be the angel.
Well, you must be an idiot then, because I was looking the other way.
Ah, damn it.
This film is from an animated feature, actually. Yeah. And it's good we're doing that. We hadn't done an animated feature.
An animated?
Or as I like to call them, cartoons.
I meant animated. Or cartoons.
Or animated.
Animated feature from writer, director, and animator Bill Plimpton with a Y.
Yeah, very specific animation.
Plimpton. Absolutely. You know, he's kind of known for Plimpton's dirty shorts.
Yes, he is.
Kind of like you're known for your
dirty
shorts.
He should change
them. Yeah, so if you've seen it, keep listening. See if you agree or disagree with our take on this one. Or if not, hey, just keep listening to see if you may want to cue this one up yourself. And once again, I'm Michael, along with, as always, to my left, James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. Yeah. I'm doing all right. You know, I woke up today and all of my bony appendages were right where they needed to be.
Really?
Nothing new on the shoulders?
No. Yeah. No, not at all. I didn't have any surgeons chasing me around.
That's good.
Yeah, I wasn't harassed in a bar by people I thought were my friends.
Even better.
Yeah,
all two of them.
Yeah, well, three. Don't forget, three.
Okay,
recount,
three.
Recount.
Okay, my bad.
Kind of like you guys, three. And that means there's two left. And let's go to your left, and that's Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear.
He sits there. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
But hi.
Hey, how are you, man?
You know, same old, same old.
Yeah, so no mystery there.
Nope.
Absolutely. There he is. pass the torch, man. To
Why
your...
do you laugh when you're about to say my name?
You're just giggly today.
I am giggly.
You are giggly.
This is Max
today.
Giggles.
Giggles gumbo.
Johnson.
Someone put a giggle in my gumbo. I noticed that earlier, and I commented on that. I said, man, you're awfully giddy today.
Well, you made that funny joke.
I don't remember it, but you loved
we
it.
We're not going to bring it up here.
Yeah. Oh, that one. Yeah. Inside joke. Moving along. Max Gumbo Johnson.
Hey, what's happening?
In the saddle. There you are. Ready to talk
what
about.
Do you want?
Ready to talk about an animated feature, aren't you?
A cartoon.
It's an animated feature, Max. Come on.
It's a cartoon.
No, those are Looney Tunes.
What's a graphic novel?
Yeah, a graphic movie.
Those comic books. Okay, moving on.
Moving on. How about the producer? He sits afar, but not too far off.
That's off.
Tongue twister. Off. He doesn't sit that far off. There he is.
We have to turn around and look at him.
Yeah, we rearranged the studio. You can't see this.
Yeah, it's Jolly Rogers 2.0.
Yeah, version 2.0, the reboot.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of a new table going on. Producer is actually at his producing table.
He sits with his back to us in the corner now.
We have a monitor. We can actually look up. It's like the Great Oz. We have like a big monitor now. We can see what the heck he's looking at back there.
Yeah.
Because before we kind of knew, but we just
Well,
suspected.
We suspected.
We suspected.
Right.
How are you doing over there, producer? About 15 feet away. All right, let's get into this one, guys. But before we do, let's talk about how to keep up with us if you don't know. Many ways to do it.
Yep.
You can Google us.
Sure.
You got Facebook, you have Twitter, you have iTunes, you have Google Plus, YouTube. But what you want to do is go to our site, theqfilmcast.net. You know it. That's it. That's where you want to go, qfilmcast.net. Leave us your review of this one. Or any of the other films we've reviewed, or whatever, if you want to see what Max really looks like, or what Hoodie probably looks like.
You don't know.
Yeah, go there, check it out. We love feedback, not only on the film, but you know how we're doing. So love that. QFilmcast.net. Let's go into this one here. Bill Plimpton's 2008 animated feature.
Cartoon.
Idiots and Angels. This was queued up by our producer. It's his turn.
Yeah.
You want to comment on it? Why did you queue up this film, producer?
I wanted to see if y'all could talk about this for a while.
Talk I thought it would be a good challenge for you all.
Talk about a movie with no... We did that with Samsara.
Yeah. There wasn't even any grunting in Samsara.
No.
Yeah, on my part there was.
Yeah, that was more like moaning and eye rolling, wasn't
right.
it?
Snoozing.
I think he described that as the best screensaver of all time.
Yeah.
Quite clever. Okay, so here we go. Animated feature from Bill Plimpton, Idiots and Angels, selected by the producer, wants to see if we can talk about this one for a while. And I think it's good because it's an animated feature. We haven't done this. I think the closest we came was way back in the beginning with Metropia.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
That was basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Only not as good.
Different.
I think you're going to kind of lead some of the conversation here, too. I thought of you a lot, Hoodie, because you have an animated vein. I think you understand how a lot of this goes. This is a different kind of animation, though, from
sure.
From
I really
Metropia.
Wish you had given me a call earlier in the week.
Well,
let me know
I
that.
Got nothing.
Just put me on the same page.
What's that, a one-way street? I didn't know that.
No.
I thought we had an open line of communication. All right, so to get into the film, let's start it this way. Do you know that people who liked this film liked It Didn't Say?
There's nothing like it.
Basically, it said everything this guy has ever done. And I mentioned Bill's Dirty Shorts.
Yeah.
I have got to see that just because it's called Bill's Dirty Shorts.
Right.
And it's an online thing he does where he puts out, I think, monthly something or other.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He also did a film called Your Face. When I say film, they're all animated features.
Yeah.
I Married a Strange Person. Mm. He has something else coming out, too, so maybe this is well placed.
Yeah, cheating.
Cheating, yeah.
Cheating.
40,000 animated, sketches he used for that.
Yeah.
And he painted them with watercolor.
Yeah.
This is what, 25,000? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one.
He's also done a lot of the Simpsons shorts, Couch Gags.
Has he?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So he's done some things, and apparently he has a bit of a following. I mean,
sure.
People know. I've heard him in passing. I've seen some things drawn by him, but never a feature. Have you, Hoodie?
Yeah.
Okay.
The tune's probably his biggest.
Yeah,
the
his style is very recognizable. I mean, if you've seen a Plimp tune, you know exactly what it is.
Right, exactly.
Did it.
Yeah. And that came to me pretty quick when I saw it. Oh,
right.
That guy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Oh, and by the way, he's also working on an animated feature. I thought this was kind of interesting.
What's that?
You ready, Max?
I'm ready. Blow me away.
You're not giggling anymore.
Well, I'd say something funny.
Well, this is not funny. He's doing Cahill Gibran's The Prophet.
Cahill Gibran's?
Wow.
He's doing
really?
He's working on an upcoming animated version of Cahill Gibran's The Prophet. You ever read Cahill Gibran?
Oh, the The Prophet.
The book, The Prophet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
About the guy that goes to prison?
No.
That's the prince, right?
Well, I know. Islands, I'm thinking of The Prophet, the French movie.
Deserts in the Stream or whatever.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a comedy, obviously. I don't think so.
No, and it better not be in that style.
Yeah, so anyways, that's what this guy's all about. Typically, we tell you who's in the film. We don't need to do that. This is a Bill Plimpton vehicle.
Yeah.
This film inspired a top three. You know this, don't you, Gumbo?
I do.
Yeah. Why don't you reveal what that is? Because they all inspire something. What is
top
this?
Top three angels in movies.
Angelish characters, angelic features.
I was under the impression that it was top three angels.
Okay, we'll see where that goes.
We just did devils, so we gotta do the angels.
Not top three angelic features or semi angel people. Top three angels.
They have wings. They're dead and they're good and they're on earth.
Not necessarily good.
They don't have to be good.
Oh, fallen angels.
Yeah.
Hey, you didn't think about that, did you?
I think. Yeah. No, I thought about it.
Right.
Ooh.
So, yeah, and good point there, producer. We did top three devils. Why not do top three angels? So, yeah, that kind of finishes that off. Let's talk about ratings. IMDb. Hoodie, what do you think IMDb gave this film?
7.
Spot on. Look at that.
Really?
Quit cheating. No, come on.
I didn't see it. All the time I get one right, and it's sitting right behind me.
We have a new monitor mounted on the wall, and Hoodie's cheating.
I didn't cheat,
No,
promise.
He didn't cheat, because it's in back of his head. 7, spot on. There you go.
I nailed it. Max gets close, but I nail it.
Rotten Tomatoes. We throw over to them every week as well. I'm going to throw over to Savage. Hopefully he hasn't been looking at my notes this time. What did the critics give this one, Savage?
7.2.
Well, you're
no,
the
Rotten
thing.
Tomatoes.
For 72.
No, it's 93% fresh.
Wow.
But there's no consensus. There's only 14 reviews.
Well, yeah, 14 people. What, are you saying they don't matter?
Yeah.
Yep.
You get me 14 people together in a room who agree on something.
It's
pretty impressive.
It's a small sampling.
It is a small sampling. What do you think the users?
On Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
He'll get it pretty close, but he won't nail it.
87.
76%.
Whoa, I went way high. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about what the film is, what the story is. We'll take a break, come back, tell you our review. Our ratings. But here's what you have. Animator Bill Plimpton offers a moral fable with his own surreal touch in this dark comedy. It tells the story of a character of Angel, a selfish, abusive, morally bankrupt man who hangs out at his local bar, berating the other patrons and relishing his lack of any moral compass. One day, Angel mysteriously wakes up with a pair of wings on his back. The wings make him do good deeds, contrary, obviously, to his nature. He desperately tries to rid himself of the good wings, but eventually finds himself fighting those who view the wings as their ticket to fame and fortune. Idiots and Angels tells its story without dialogue, but does include songs from such great artists as Tom Waits, Moby, Pink Martini, and Nicole Renaud.
You named two great artists.
No,
I take that back. You named one.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, Moby's
artists.
Awesome.
They're all out there doing their things. They're fantastic, man. Okay. All four
I
of them.
I never heard of Pink Martini.
I didn't, but after this movie, I want to. Right. I actually looked all these guys up. Fantastic stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
What about Tom Waits? He's got some stuff.
Tom Waits is... You know how he rubs me, man. I like that smoky growl.
I know you do. Yeah, so do I, sir.
You know, we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down.
Nope.
Or stars.
Nope.
No, we let the film dictate how we're going to rate it. And what is it this week, Hoodie? I think you came up with this one.
Bombed Out Bars?
You're right. Bombed Out Bars.
Bombed Out Bars.
Because there was, I think, more than 10.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It works.
It was a whole city full of bombed out bars.
Yeah.
And a lot of bars in that city.
Yeah.
Yeah. One on every corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, times is tough in that town.
Yeah, it seemed a fairly miserable place to live.
Not if you like bars.
Right.
But we're going to get into that. And before we do that, let's talk a little bit more about a couple facts and figures. Did you know in this film, many of the male characters in his cartoons are self-portraits?
Nope.
I read that as a fact. I didn't know it.
Hmm.
Here's a fact, though. Did you know that Bill Plimpton turned down a 7-figure offer from Walt Disney to animate Aladdin because any ideas he developed while under contract with them would be their intellectual property?
7 figures?
Yeah. How do you turn down 7 figures?
I would have let him have that.
I would have said, okay, I'll do that, and that's it.
Yeah.
I would hit my grandmother in the head with shovel for 4 figures.
Right. Some things you just got to give away.
No, I'm just lying.
And that's not giving away. That's buying at a real reasonable rate.
Yes. Yeah. I think it says a lot about the guy's integrity
his
art.
It really does.
Can't buy this dude.
I suppose.
All right. So we get into currency. We're going to rate this thing on 1 to 10 bombed out bars. And by the way, real quick, listen, listeners, we played by the rules. I mean,
right.
this film, as we say, we pull them out of Netflix. It's on Netflix today. It was on Netflix last week.
Right.
Just found out. It's not going to be on Netflix here real soon. Don't know when. I think possibly.
August 1st.
Yeah, when you get
In America, our Canadian listeners and our British listeners, it may be on.
No, it is. As a matter of fact, I checked Canada.
Okay.
It's on in Canada.
Okay.
The good thing is, don't fret. We're prepping you because it's going to return. All these films return usually within a few months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since we've been here, one film that we in the last year has gone away and come back twice. So,
wow.
So if you look for it, you know what? This is one for your stocking stuff.
Probably because we reviewed it. I said, "Oh, those Q guys, we got to put this back up."
They didn't like it. Take it down.
Right.
I wanted to get this out of the way, but let's get into the film.
Sushi Girl.
Possibly, yeah. We're talking about 2008, Idiots and Angels, and I want to go over to the producer. This was your pick, your selection.
Yeah.
You said, I want to hear you guys talk about this. I want to get into some animation. You tell me, this film, 1 to 10, bombed out bars. All right, Firestarter, how many are you going with?
I'm going 7. Let's burn those bars.
Let's burn them down.
Burn them to the ground.
Yeah.
Can't help it. I enjoyed it.
He couldn't help it, guys.
I wouldn't apologize for the way you feel, producer.
He tried to help it. He just couldn't help it.
I can't help.
I enjoy my silent films.
Not really silent. Once again.
Not really silent.
Silent grunts. A lot of grunts. All done with grunts and like facial tics and things.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. But let's go over to a man who really knows how to grunt. And that is, who's it going to be? I think Matthew St. Hoodie. I had to pin it on somebody.
Right.
Bombed out bars. How many rockets you launching?
I think I'm going to stay with Adam. I think 7.
7?
I think I'm with a 7.
I was really curious about you. You have an artiste's mind when it comes to sketching and art and.
Right. I think it would have been a lot higher if this was the first time I had seen him.
Yeah.
I really do. If this was the first time I had seen this guy, then it would have been way higher. Because I do remember the first one I saw. We'll get to it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear what you have to say. Really giddy about this guy, too. And that's James Hard Sub Savage. We have a 7. We have a 7. Lucky 7. What you going with?
Yeah, let's make it a triple sevens. I really like when I saw that it was a Plimptoon, because this has been in my queue for a while. When I saw it was a Plimptoon, I'm like, yeah, Plimptoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom Waits, starring Tom. Yeah, Tom Waits. And then.
Not really starring him.
Yeah, well, no. I know, and I learned that.
It's built around a certain aspect of him.
Yeah. It's short, and I think there's some problems with the narrative, so I can't go a little higher than that. I mean, it's tough to rate a film like this.
Yeah.
So I'm sticking with the 7. It feels right.
Feels right, feels good. Feels fresh. How about Max Gumbo Johnson, man? We got 7s all the way around. Keep it rolling, man. What?
Nah, I'm not keeping it rolling. I'm going to have to go 5 bombed out bars on this.
5 bombed out bars. You have some things you didn't like about this film.
I have some things I didn't like about this film, yeah. There were some things I didn't like. There were some things I liked. but there were some things I didn't like.
About half and half. About.
So I made it in the middle. I give it a five. Five bombed out bars.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, business isn't bad in your bar. It's kind of in the middle. Well, that leaves it to me, man.
Sure.
That's right. I'm going to go eight. I'm going to go eight bombed out bars between seven and eight, but I'm pumping eight, man.
All right.
You know, I love this thing, man. To me, it was blistering, purposeful, dark, moody, funny. There's a lot going on here in 90 minutes. And to me, this was the first time I've seen a plimptoon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, you know, I've seen it like in passing, you know, in still frames. But for this, and I don't gravitate towards animation because they become mundane. And I'm thinking, all right, here's 90 minutes, could be mundane, but I really like this film. And it rose above its animation. I mean, it rose in the end. It's more than just the animation. That's what I liked about it. Treasure in my book, man. I like it. Going eight. Yeah. Eight bombed out bars.
You champion this thing.
How high up here, man?
It's 34 bombed out bars.
Not bad. Yeah, I like this more than I thought it would. And, you know, I'd watched it twice. First time I watched it was when I had hit my finger with a hammer.
Oh, nice.
Remember I told you about that? I was so distracted because my finger hurt so bad that I thought I got to give this. I loved it, but let me make sure it wasn't as a result of my pain. I went back and watched it again and loved it even more the second time. But so, yeah, let's go back to the producer. You led this off with seven. That's a number of the day, too. 3 7s, 1 5, 1 8. Tell us why you went seven on this.
I enjoyed it. I never knew who this guy was until I looked him up and found out that he did some of the Simpsons stuff. I just randomly watched it because I loved the cover of it. And I was like, okay, let's see it. And I didn't know it was a cartoon when I saw the cover.
Really?
Yeah. And then started watching it. And at first, I really didn't care for it. And then all of a sudden, with the bar scene where he starts jumping on the girl.
Yeah.
That's not the way that came out right.
I was like, okay, I'm in with this.
Yeah. I started laughing. And I was hooked from there. And I couldn't help but love it.
Yeah, okay. So, you got into it pretty quick there. Once the characters came alive, you hung with it and liked it.
Yeah.
That's interesting, man. So you just kind of came into this because of the cover art?
Yeah, that was it.
Wow, that's a hook right there.
Kind of like Metropia, right?
Same thing with me, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with Metropia, I put Idiots and Angels and Metropia in my queue at the same time, and they were both the first two movies I put in there, and it was based, you know, strictly on cover. And when I picked Metropia, it was between Metropia and Idiots and Angels, not having seen either of them.
That is a good box, too, a good cover for this film, because it's like...
It's been in my queue, too, for a long time. I just never watched it.
You're looking at it. Is it noir? Is it just a straight-up, you say cartoon, but animation? You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
All right, good, man. Well, let's go over to, I think we went to Hoodie. Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hey.
Patron saint. Giving it a seven.
Yeah.
You know a bit about animation. You liked it enough to go up there a little bit. Tell us why.
Oh, well, it's a Plimpton.
Plimptoon.
Plimpton. It's a Bill Plimpton piece.
Right.
Yeah. No, but I remember it was more nostalgic for me. I didn't have any idea that it was a Plimpton, even when I put it in or when Adam queued it up. And the second you see the first frame, I'm like, oh, my God, I know this guy. Okay, I'm in.
Right.
But it just, like, grabbed me and threw me back to the 90s when I was just, I think it was the I Married a Strange Person was the first thing that I remember seeing and really remembering that it was him. And that thing just blew me away. It was just nuts.
I gotta see it.
It was just crazy. It was so, it was just amazing. There you go.
Yeah.
This one didn't strike me the same. I don't know if over the years I've built that one up to be, you know, more iconic than it should be. The art is amazing. That's the thing that has always grabbed me about Plimpton. It's very, you know, you can say animated.
Yeah.
But it's iconic as well. I mean,
and it's very him. I mean, you can look at half of a drawing, you can look at a sketch and know exactly who it is, and that's one thing that really is it really attracts me to artists across the board, whether it's animation or a painting, drawing, really anything, even writing. You can read something and know when somebody's done that, and that's very stylistic.
Sure.
And that's what really I think grabs me are the sketchiness of things, that's my favorite part of his thing is I can see how he was thinking and how he was drawing this, and I just love the camera angles that were used.
Right.
The perspective that was used was just nuts. I wish I could draw stuff like that. Not a chance.
Yeah.
But it was more nostalgic for me than anything, which is what I really liked about it. And it actually reminded me of a video. I don't know if Plimpton actually, maybe you can look it up, did anything on Liquid Television. Do you guys remember that?
That's when I was looking up. I said, oh, it's that guy that did the Liquid Television.
Absolutely.
Stuff. That's what I remember.
So there was a cartoon on Liquid Television that was like a girl chasing a ball. And I can't remember if that's a Plimpton or not, but that's what I was really just like, that hit me just like a smack in the face when this thing first started. So it was more nostalgic than anything. That's probably why I went a little higher.
The one I remembered from Liquid Television was the one they talked about, and he did that early promo for MTV.
Oh, yeah.
where it was the guy's face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eating itself.
Yeah, I
was like,
that.
Oh, okay, that, I remember. Yeah. Okay, that guy. Yeah.
So he's got the standard stuff that's really recognizable, like this movie. And then he's got some other stuff, I think, that's still very much him, but it's in almost a different vein.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, okay, so this was more of a throwback for you, and you kind of like going back and maybe revisiting
right.
some things. See, for me, I'm at a totally different angle. I'm coming in fresh.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
You know, there's so many different kinds of animation, too. I'm attracted to this kind. I like it when it is very sketched.
Sure.
I mean, it's a, make it look like a sketch. It's a sketch. Don't right. sand the edges too much.
Oh, yeah, it's loose.
It's bombastic. I like that. So
well, you get more energy, a lot more energy.
It's weird, too. Yeah, everything's very fluid. It's very choppy and just, I don't know. I'm very attracted to this type of animation. So right off the get-go, I'm like, okay, this is what I like when I watch these kind of films.
Right, right.
What about you, Savage? You went 7 as well. Tell me what you got.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know Bill Plimpton, and or I'm familiar with his work, like Hoodie, from, you know, the 90s and the Liquid Television, and it's a very distinctive style of animation. Like you said, I like the energy of it. It's very drawn. It's not CG. It doesn't have that gloss. It doesn't have that glistening
yeah.
thing that we're... that what we think of animation is
right,
now.
Right.
There's really a labor of it. You can mm-hmm. tell that he really labors to produce this.
Yeah.
And some of the transitions are just masterpieces.
Absolute masterpieces.
The way he transitions things. You could call it a camera angle, but it's not a camera angle. It's art. It's how he renders the animation, you know? And it's brilliant. The narrative is pretty neat, too, in this film. It's it has a touch of, like, the Groundhog Day feel, you know, where that day over...
Yeah,
doing the
right,
same day
right.
over mm-hmm. Over and over again. I started approaching this outside of the art, which I love. When I saw it was a Plimpton, I was like, hey, Plimpton, yeah.
Yeah.
I really kind of fell into the narrative of it and then trying to figure out what's going on in the narrative of it. And then once the story develops with the wings and, you know, and how the transformation of yeah. the main, I don't know, you'd call him the protagonist or the antagonist. I mean, he's mm-hmm. kind of the same guy.
Yeah, it's hard to put your finger on a yeah. lot of stuff here. And even the characters, who they are and what role they are is hard to put your finger on.
Right. And then I started getting on board with that, and then yeah. there's some plot holes to it, and that's why I kind of came down on it.
Yeah.
But all in all, I mean, it's a really well-crafted piece of work, and to have no dialogue, you kind of have to allow for some plot holes, I mean, because you don't yeah. have the luxury of language to yeah. explain things to you.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there you go, man. Hey, we're going to talk about some of these scenes,
yeah,
some
absolutely.
Of these potential plot holes.
I just want to don't go into my rant right now.
Yeah, yeah. Save that rant, man. Save
yeah, okay,
it.
All right. I'll save it.
Because I think we're going to have a little bit of bring me back down to earth, right. give me some levity rant from Max.
Right.
You'll get no rant from me today.
Max Gumbo Johnson. Going in the middle five. What you got, man? You went a little lower than the rest of us.
I didn't hate it, but I found myself getting a bit bored after about the first 30 minutes of it.
Yeah.
I was like,
bored?
Yeah.
I was bored.
I wasn't so bored that I was completely taken out of the thing. But to me, 90 minutes of this was way too much. This would have worked better as maybe a 20, 30 minute short.
78 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Short.
I still agree with what you're saying.
No, yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah, it might be a little long. And maybe 78 that's, minutes. I can see that, yeah.
It would have worked better as a, you know, like I said, a 20, 30 minute short.
Yeah.
I think the animation style was great. For 20 or 30 minutes. After that, it just started to kind of grate on me.
I completely agree.
Hold it still for a minute. Stop moving everything around so much. It's like I'm watching a Jason Bourne movie, for crying out loud. Hold the camera still. And I know, you know, there's not really a camera.
Right.
And it was enjoyable for a little bit. I enjoyed the character, the main character, Angel, which they never said his name. I don't know
right.
where that comes from.
His name could be Idiot.
He's just kind of become Angel. In all the plot summaries, but, he's just Angel.
They've
yeah.
only
yeah.
named Bart in the whole entire thing.
Yeah, that's yeah. the only one that had a name.
I like
but,
Bart.
But yeah, it seems like he wanted to tell a story and wanted to flesh it out to feature length and had to add all this stuff. And say, oh, what if this happened? Or what if this happened? Or what if this happened? And after a while, it became this obvious morality tale. It's like... Okay, I get it.
I don't know. I'm going to part ways with you. I don't
well, it did. I mean, it was so obvious.
It started to go that way.
And it did not. It got old for me quick.
Kind of like a fairy tale, though. You kind of yeah. forgive its obviousness because of the story.
Yeah, I can.
But I do agree with you that it was way longer than it needed to be.
Yeah, that was the main thing for me. It just, like I said, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I think if
yeah.
you like some sort of unique animation style, yeah, give it a shot. But it was just too much of a good thing to me.
I understand what you're saying. And because, you know, that's why I say...
And I don't want to just pick on the animation. The the movie itself, the story itself, kind of started to wear thin.
Okay, I got you, man. You know, when I said earlier that they become mundane, I was completely prepared to see someone squeeze the life out of a 90-minute animated project with no narrative, yeah. no dialogue.
Yeah.
So I was had low expectations as far as having it go the distance for me. I'm completely on board. So maybe I came in expecting it, and the fact that it kind of over-delivered in that regard made it more enjoyable than what I thought it was going to be. Because for me, I'll just tell you right now, it did rise above itself for me. I think it transcended being an animated feature. And when that happens, you have a really good piece of work on your hand. When it becomes more than what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And here, all the pages are held together by something much more than its basic animation and outline. I got lost in this one. And you talk about the story. Getting lost in that thing is really what did it for me. And I don't know exactly what you pin this to. That's what I find fascinating. Was this a dark comedy? Was it some sort of a morality tale? Was it a noir? Was it a love story? A redemptive superhero flick?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it was, but it was all those things some way. And whatever it was, it did sustain me through the 90 minutes. A little tiresome, but still, it was there, and it kept teasing me along and teasing me along. I thought that those sets and those characters especially, everything just morphed from one great thing to the next. I couldn't wait to see where it took me. And it only took about 5 minutes, actually, into the film, because from that first moment where we see him laying in bed, what we yeah. think is not an alarm clock.
Right, right.
To the first time
it rhymes with alarm clock.
Yeah. What rhymes with alarm? What are you trying to say? Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Maybe the other word. And then when he goes into Bart's bar, I was completely wired in. This is something I had to see from right then and there. I was also really, once again, into this animation where it's really overdrawn. It is bombastic. It's much more entrancing to me when it's obviously a sketch. So right yeah. there, once again, like I said before, I was in. I like the rhythm of this one. I really like the characters. They did not become anything other than intriguing to me. All the grunting, the gyrating, all these ponderous, savage word folk. Yeah. It was ponderous. And I love that. They were brought to life with just the proper bits and pieces. I don't think I frowned on any character. I was into everybody's story here. And I was either laughing, bewildered, or otherwise enthralled by every single one of them. It's animation, yes, but I guess what I can tell you is that the stuff that goes with it here is what I loved. The characters, the life that was brought to them, and the overall storyline yeah. all worked for me. Perfectly written. And also the use of music here.
It's brilliant.
Splendid to me. And not just because I like the artist. They really added to the film. Sometimes music is just, here's music.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, to me, that became the dialogue I needed to zip it all up. This made me a Plimpton fan. I'd never seen his work. That's it. This made me a Plimpton fan.
Oh, yeah. Plimptoons.
So usually we sit here and we go, okay, here's a piece of the film.
Nothing to play.
Max, will you grunt for just a minute? So one more time.
I had to watch this twice.
I had to watch it twice. The little girl in the corner that...
solitaire girl.
The solitaire girl that danced around.
The great big old fat person.
Boy, I tell you, that's some good animation. When you draw thighs like that...
Yeah, he's good at drawing big people. That's one of the things he's known for, too.
So exaggerated.
It's great.
Yeah, it's very stylized.
I was actually, while you were talking, I was thinking about the animation. One of the things he really does well is the play with shadow and light.
Yeah.
And he really adds a lot of weight to all the characters.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
just the fat ones, but everybody has like a lot of...
girth?
Okay.
Density.
Not the word so much, but...
Density.
Okay. Not really. No.
I think, but they're not stick people. So
right. They just look really solid. That's one of the really hard things to do is like, to balance and add weight to people and make them look, you know, sturdy.
Yeah. Well, you know a little bit about that. And yeah, bring in.
Does that make sense? I'm using all the wrong words.
I get you.
Yeah. I mean, they look very grounded. They look like they're really there. Yeah. I don't know what you're saying. I know
some
what you're
saying. Some substance.
So yeah. Nice not word. The word, but yeah.
I'm Let's get off that all word. The wrong words.
Let's talk a little bit about the animation, because in the end, that's what this is. And, that's what it's built on. This guy is drawing page after page after page and stringing them together in these little segments. I could probably give you five or six that I would say are my favorite. I don't know which one yet. I know the part where he gets his wings, because you know, he gets wings and he flies up and you think, okay, he's going to be an angel, and he moons the plane.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's full of these little treasures, but let's go over to the producer, man. Let's talk about one piece of this film or one segment, something animation-wise that you think rises to the surface here.
Probably where they're in the bar at the beginning, and they see the butterfly grow out of his head.
Yeah. Mm.
And they all have their little dream sequences of what they want this butterfly to be and what they want to do with the butterfly. Yeah. I thought that was brilliant for the most part. Even shackling the butterfly, I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing, too.
Right.
Oh yeah, true. I didn't think about that.
Well, it told you in just seconds. In just seconds, which every character, what their nature was and what motivated them.
Yeah. Sure.
Some loved, some wanted to be something different.
What they all wanted.
Some wanted to profit from it. Mm-hmm. And it actually, now that y'all said it, foreshadowed,
absolutely.
All of them did. It fell right in place.
Yeah, I thought that was cool too, because right now you know what's going to motivate all these people. What motivated you, Max, when this was all over? You wanted to remember a certain bit of animation. You threw some credence and some credit to his craft here.
Oh, I'm not gonna knock the guy. The guy's good at what he does.
What did you like animation wise in this?
I like the opening segment where he's waking up in bed and he gets in the shower.
The shower shaves.
And then
cereal
he's shaving thing. And it turns into cereal and stuff
morphs
like that.
Into one
and
another.
Then it
That's
turns into him getting
scene.
In the car. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
If it had kept up a little more of that. Well, no, I take that back.
I take it back.
If it would have kept that up, I'd be like, okay, enough with that.
Right.
But in short doses, that works really well in the film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say what you did and didn't like if you're just sort of in the middle of the road on this thing. Because, like I said, the animation style, I enjoy it, but just not that much. It's too much of it.
Yeah.
I can't.
You think it's heavy-handed? Or just...
Not so much that it's heavy-handed. It's just... I mean, anything, everything in moderation.
Sure.
And this style of animation, it's hard to take in long doses like that for me.
Well, I think
and what you're saying, what you were saying, Michael, I'm pointing at you.
Yeah.
About you like this style of animation, you don't like everything scrubbed up and blah, 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 blah. You know, when I think of cartoons, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is Warner Brothers and Looney Tunes. Mm. And those are fantastic. I love those, all of them, but they're all, you know, they're all 10 minutes a piece or 5 minutes a piece. They're short doses of it. I can sit there and watch them all day, or some of the, you know, the older Disney movies, some of the newer Disney movies. I like the classic flowing style hand-drawn animation. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
Some of the experimental stuff I like, too. I mean, I love, like, heavy metal. I love that.
Yeah.
It's rotoscope.
Yeah,
that
kind of reminded me of this.
But still
yeah.
heavy metal is broken up into different segments,
sure.
and you get, like, 10 or 15 minutes of each style of animation.
You know what? Real quickly, this film did seem broken up to me, though. You had Bart's Bar. You had him.
It wasn't broken up enough.
But the style.
But the style was the same throughout.
No, you can even keep the style. But if you had like some color, maybe some just change the color palette a little bit in between, and that might even break
something,
it up too.
Something to break it up a little bit.
I love Bart's Bar.
Would have helped it to me.
I love Bart's Bar. Didn't you love Bart's Bar in this thing?
That was really the only place we had.
Well, no, you also had
the outside. You had his house.
Had the worst bar in the world. There were two customers all the time, and him, the gun runner.
Yeah, the gun runner. And you know, that's that narrative, man, where it just got weirder and weirder.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
That was my, because I was like, what is with this guy?
He was like out of a job and didn't want to tell somebody.
That's what I thought it was.
Dressing up and taking the briefcase into, you know, work. I'm in quotations right now.
Right.
Yeah.
He goes to the bar instead. No, he actually is.
He's there working.
He's a rotten jerk and he's selling handguns to whoever.
Right.
Going to
Santa.
Buy him.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Savage, what kind
of
car?
To the guy that works the Sudoku buses.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
Apparently, they only drive one car in the city, too. So what kind of car was that?
I guess it's like a 38 Nova. I don't know. It's like something.
38
from,
Nova.
It's like something from the 30s or something.
I thought it was a HR. What do you call it?
A Packard?
No.
The Chevy HR?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was the, I don't know.
You know, I thought this was going to be a story about the mundane, too, because everything is mundane. I thought it was going to be this guy wanting out of his life.
Mm.
In the beginning, that's the way it sets up. Same car, struggling to get somewhere. Angry in traffic. Remember when he blew up the guy's car in the beginning, too?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nice setup. You know, this is guy's bad news.
That's my wish every day.
Yeah.
He's a mean guy.
Yeah, that was really nice, too, because he gets this amazing gift of wings, which who hasn't, you know, at least had a dream about flying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How cool would that be to have wings? And he cuts them off how many times?
About five times.
Throws them in the trash. You have the doctor, who's basically everybody else in the world, who wants to sew the wings to your back and have them work. And
right. Yeah.
That was fantastic. I never would have thought to take out the guy's spine and that's how you do it, obviously.
It didn't work the first time.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't take the spine the first time. Right? The second time is when he, I thought that was great.
What's
so there's lots of little details. That's what
it had that
I
predator moment.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was more of Mortal Kombat to me.
Okay.
A little bit Mortal Kombat. A
lot of details.
What about you, Savage? Talk about some animation that stood out in this one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I fell in love with this film, well, as much as a 7 can be with the narrative of it. And I would like to use my time to talk about the story of it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with the absence of language to tell a story that's as well developed as this is very surprising. It's very well done. It's very slick how he tells the story.
Right.
I kept replaying in my mind when he goes into that bar over and over. He wakes up and he drives through traffic and he goes in that bar and it's smoking. It's the same people. It's like the philosopher, Jean-Paul Sartre. He said, hell is other people. In his famous play, No Exit, he said, hell is other people. And that's what I kept playing in my head over and over. It's like, this guy's in hell.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, actually.
And this is his hell. These three people are his hell.
Yeah.
So when this offer of redemption through the wings starts to happen, this guy has not earned that in any way that's been expressed to us in any way. Not only has he not earned it or deserved it, he refutes it over and over.
Constantly. Yeah.
Over and over. And even when he does, when the wings are developed and he starts to do the good deeds, he's not doing the good deeds.
Yeah.
The wings are doing the good deeds. Mm-hmm. He's still an unredeemed.
He's fighting it.
Yeah. To use Mac's word, he's an unredeemed bastard.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, this guy really is a piece of crap. And he doesn't want to be a good guy. He's still in hell. Only when when the wings are taken from him, he ends up getting shot or something. And he literally has to be born again. So going into that story, and then with the, you know, what I like to call Grenada scene, where the other guy starts bombing everything, and then I guess that's where it starts again. But to tell that story, again, I'm surprised at the absence of language, that it's still able to be portrayed and still be able to be conveyed with something as simple as very dense, densely drawn animation and grunts.
See, I was down with the story. The story took me along.
Yeah.
I sprouted wings with it, and I flew the whole way with this thing. And every time I thought it had a lull, it threw something at me to say, wait a minute, look a little deeper, look a little closer. What is this guy? Who is he? And your take on the redemption, he's in hell. I remember sitting there thinking, okay, this guy's in hell. He's alone. It's definitely a dark place. He's alone with his circumstances that he's created for himself.
Right.
He's earned this hell through his actions.
Sure.
What's going to happen? And then how did these wings and the bug lays the butterfly lays an egg on his head. That's why he grows the wings. Mm. Why him? Was he chosen for something? Is he getting a shot at redemption?
That's the whole plot.
Yeah, these are all these big themes that I grabbed onto, and it gave me a reason to say, okay, I'll go the distance here. And that's why I stayed along with the story. Yeah. It was very interesting.
Talk about being in nothingness.
Exactly.
Are you talking about right now?
I'm talking about Jean-Paul Sartre.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
being in nothingness.
See, I'm no dummy.
I guess I'm picking up what you land down.
I think I wouldn't, and how to jump in here where you said you would say that was a plot hole. Why did they pick him? Well, I mean, you got to pick a thankless bastard to be redeemed. I mean, you can't pick some guy that just kind of needs to be redeemed.
But we're never given any reason of why.
You don't need a reason.
I don't think you need one.
It could be something as simple as him, you know, not throwing the clock at the bird. You know, just one day, not throw the clock at
the bird. To show some goodness in him.
Yeah, well, it's something, you know.
No, no. You want him as bad as it can be.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Hoodie. I'm
addressing his point, but yeah, I agree with you.
This became a love story, too. I mean, in the end, it transforms into, okay, it's a story of these two people finding each other.
Yeah, but she cheated
like
on
that?
Her husband, too.
No, I didn't like that.
I thought that was great. I thought there was reasons for them to get together. Go ahead.
No, there was no reason because he basically raped her at the beginning of the movie.
Right. But you don't need a reason, right?
What do you mean you don't need a reason?
That's what you just said.
Well, he said he didn't like it.
No, you said you need a reason to give this guy wings.
Right.
Right? And I said I want him to be as bad as I can be.
Right.
What's the reason? What are we talking about?
Why they got together. You need a reason for them to get together.
She only got together with him because he had wings and could fly around it.
No,
be a Superman.
There was a lot going on there.
In reality, I'm not going to hook up with somebody that tried to rape me. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I looked at that. Like,
and that's one of the reasons I went low on, because a lot of these little things, just these connections just didn't happen for me with the story. The animation, I would go way higher if it was just animation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The story didn't do it.
The romance fell flat for me, too. That's one of the, I didn't buy it.
Okay. Let me tell you why I bought it real quick. That was Bart's girl. And every time she tried to become someone else free of him, he'd whip out that picture and go, and show everybody a picture of him and her together. This is mine.
Married.
Right. And so the idea of her being loved and fought for and someone attracted to her, I don't care how bombastic and crazy it was. And the animation shows that. Rapey a little bit.
Right.
It still made sense that, okay, she needs to be away from this guy. And this is her way of becoming free of that. And together they got together, and it was sensible to me.
Yeah, but she goes from one jerk to another jerk.
He wasn't a jerk at the end.
No, because the wings left him said, now you're okay.
I like
well,
the story.
Very, very you're good redeemed. Way. They flew away all their yeah. own.
After you didn't rape her.
Well, and again.
You made love. You
that's
didn't
after
rape.
The complete death and rebirth of the, that character.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know, I know. So, but it's I don't still, like I'm sort
which
of
Which, again, was
that.
Foreshadowed all with that caterpillar scene.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I thought, which, you know, Adam brought that up, I think. That's one of the best scenes in the movie. And foreshadowing so. Like that is... That's what I look for. That's the bread and butter of cartoons yeah. like this. Cartoons mm. like that.
That's okay. You can call them cartoons. That's what they are.
But yeah, the foreshadowing and being able to pick up and connect those dots, that was phenomenal. And that's still, you know, that is the story, I guess. Sure. But,
yeah, it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, what else are we going to talk about? I said it was all kinds of things. We've right. covered love story. We've covered noir. Yeah, this is also a bit dark, too. I would describe this as a noir, wouldn't
here's
you?
Here's one thing I really enjoyed about the film was when all the... When the doctor and the Bart grabs the wings and they rip him out, his spine out and everything and attach it to Bart, that they immediately paint his wings black.
Yeah.
And they, you know, yeah, they go straight whatever. Dark and evil.
No, it's symbolism.
That was obvious.
I thought it was great.
I think it would have been better wonderful. If his wings would have turned dark.
And then the whole that's fight scene between them, between him having the white wings and the black wings, is kind of like the black hat and the white hats for cowboys.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, that's
exactly what it is.
I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah.
You're talking about Spy versus Spy.
Dropping grenades out of the chimney.
You know, I love Spy versus Spy. Absolutely. Those guys are the best.
Right. They actually made a movie about that once, didn't they?
I think
they made
did.
A movie called Spy versus Spy.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
I had like Leslie Nielsen in it or something.
Yeah.
I like Spies Like Us.
It's not Spies versus Spy.
This also became, I think I threw this out there, a superhero, a story. That's where it sort of fell flat to me
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, just because they could fly.
The end, once again, because they could fly and he's painting his wings black, I thought, well, come on, make him turn black.
Yeah.
Did you
that's
think
what I
thing?
Thought. That I did not see, did they paint him black?
He painted did. His, yeah.
Did we understand why he was birthed out of Bart or the... Doctor,
no,
because
no,
his spine was there and maybe he had stem cells or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but little things like that. The
Deus Ex Machina.
That's the one.
Well, here's my thinking on this was that they went in the clouds. The angel and the girl kissed, and then when Bart forcefully kissed the girl, somehow something was transplanted back into him.
That's not how that works, buddy.
I don't know. I'm just I know how.
I think you're trying to make
but
make
yeah,
sense.
That's
out of
called
that's
an
the
STD.
Only thing I could think of it. Yeah. And that's when he started vomiting was in which yeah. led to the birth rebirth scene was from that. I think.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only thing I could think of.
I like that you're thinking. That's great.
I like that you're thinking.
And that's better than anything I got. So.
I don't know. All that held to me for the most part. I really did like the relationship between him and her, though. I mean, to me, that's where it's like, okay,
you
rounded this out for me.
I didn't like the relationship.
Oh, I did.
She only liked him because of the wings.
No, she didn't. She had reasons to be looking for a different kind of life here. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, just to get out of Bart.
Just to get away from Bart.
So anybody really would have done.
Bart turned out to be a real
Bart
problem.
Won't let me watch my mariachi band.
Right.
I like that animation, too, where she's dancing with
the broom. The mop.
Yeah, that was great.
That was lively, and that was good.
And that bar must have the cleanest floors in town.
Right.
Because that's all she did was clean the floors.
There was nobody in there. Come on.
There was nobody. And, nobody was in there. There was no sawdust on the floor, no puke, no blood, no nothing.
Right.
Why was she cleaning? She must have been, like, trying to refinish those things.
Fat girl sweat, maybe?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing sort of fell flat for me.
You know, there's some real standalone sections of this film, though. One of them for me is back to the beginning, where he's, I was just thinking about this, where he's chasing that guy, trying to fight over the parking spot. Remember the guy in the very beginning, when you first realize this is a bad dude? Go back and watch that animation again. That is fantastic, where the guy just keeps looking out the window going, bah, bah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a 12-second segment, and that's where I laughed out loud.
Right.
He puts his tie in the gas tank and lights it like a fuse.
Yeah.
Why didn't the guy just get out of the car and take the
thought the same thing
tie out?
Oh, who cares? That's what made it fun, though.
And then the crossword guy.
What was with the pencils?
Oh wait, no,
I didn't get that.
Well, he was he's a nerd. He was OCD. He was going to do his crossword.
I don't know. I don't know. It just seemed everything just seemed so. I don't want to say
there's
contrived.
A lot of fat in this.
There's a lot of fat.
Right.
Yeah,
so really, I didn't see that.
There totally was. You could cut about a half hour out of this and have a really good movie.
Yeah,
I think
if it would have been a little shorter, a lot shorter actually.
But I also think that was the project coming in. We're going to make a long 90-minute feature.
Yeah,
Plimpton's probably like, all right, man.
You don't sit down and say we're going to make a 90-minute movie. You say I'm going to tell this story.
I think you generally do, but I think that this was what that was going to be. We're going to make a long 90-minute feature with. Basically no dialogue, and let's do this. And I mean, I think that was just what they attempted to do from the get-go.
Well, it suffered for that.
Well,
if that's what they said, okay, we're going to make a movie that's 78 minutes long with no dialogue, and it's going to be all animated.
hey, they gave it a shot and it worked for me.
If this would have been like 45, hey, I would let it go 45 minutes and boom, that's enough. You could have told the story in 45 minutes.
I would give it an hour.
Okay.
You know what we'd end this with? Let's end this real quick with the music in this film. I loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Okay, Max, go. What?
I want to hear Pink Martini.
You should hear
so
Pink
great.
Martini.
I've never heard of them.
Max, I've never heard of Pink
Martini.
Well,
you said they're four great artists. So.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. I went and I investigated Pink Martini.
Since
I listened
to trailer,
Pink Martini.
Let's just go ahead and listen
let's hear
to
it
some
now.
Pink Martini.
Boom,
right
let's
now.
Listen Pink. To Pink Martini. Ladies and gentlemen, Pink Martini.
Okay, we're back. That is Pink Martini, piece of that from inspired by the film we talked about.
Nice. I liked it.
Yeah. 2008, Bill Plimpton, Idiots and Angels. And you know, a lot of stuff that rises to the surface here. One thing in particular is the music.
Sure.
And that's why we stopped and listened to that. You also had Tom Waits. You had
I thought that Cemetery, the song Over the Cemetery, don't know what it was, but it was fantastic.
That was Flowers Grave off the album, I think, Alice.
Wow. By who?
Look at him go.
Tom Waits.
Look at him
go. Was it Tom Waits? Okay. Yeah.
It was fantastic. I thought that worked really well.
Oh, yeah. What am I saying? Of course it was Tom.
St. James Infirmary was the best song out of that whole
sure it was.
Movie.
St. James Infirmary. Where did that play at in the movie?
It's when the big lady is pretending to be the butterfly.
Her all
it's the old jazz
clapping.
Song.
I didn't hear no White Stripes in there.
White
all
Stripes
I remember
didn't do that.
Is her clapping, or a bunch of people clapping, and they all look like Mitt Romney. Remember that?
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
With a pencil thin mustache.
Right, with a pencil thin mustache.
I like all the burn victims coming into Bard's place.
That was pretty crazy.
That was great.
Marching in. Right?
Yeah, that's right. That guy was an opportunist, man. First, he was a bone specialist.
Right.
And then they blow up every single bar.
Right.
And then they come back, and now he's a
burn
specialist.
Right.
Dr. Mengele.
Everyone
man.
Makes profit.
He was the best.
Yeah. And that throws back to that introduction to him. All you need to know is this guy wants fame. And he really wanted that secretary.
Yeah.
Remember his little dream sequence? All he wanted was a kiss from the secretary. He wanted to get with the secretary.
Absolutely.
Or I guess nurse's aide. I wouldn't call her secretary.
She was cute.
Yeah, she was kind of cute. Wasn't as cute as the big stemmed lady just kind of wiggling in the corner.
Big stems. That's great.
You know, dancing with her, wiggling with her broom. But anyways.
Gams.
This inspired. You want to leave it there?
Yeah.
Let's leave it here, man. And we talked about the Bill Plimpton's 2008 animated feature, 90 Minutes. Max would say 45 minutes too long. Idiots and Angels. I liked it. I would say watch it.
Right.
Why not? And maybe it was because it was fresh on me with Plimpton. Mm. His dirty shorts were clean. Unlike the producers.
Oh, hey. Man.
No. We're used to it, buddy. Hey. You know, you can get 4 days out of
it. I'm sitting far away now.
You can get 4 good days out of a pair of shorts, too, if you go inside out and backwards.
There you go.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, never mind.
I wouldn't know.
All right. This inspired something. You know what that is?
A top three.
A top three what?
Angels.
And? No. Yeah, okay. I forgot. I almost said idiots.
Right.
Angels in movies.
Oh, my God.
It's us idiots talking about angels.
You know, we also did a top three sort of idiots back when we did Zoolander, too. So
yeah, clueless characters.
We've done idiots, kind of. We've done devils.
Demons.
Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Demon-like characters. Yeah. Angels.
Yep.
I say we get into it. Let's tear this thing up.
We're rounding this out,
You know I like to round it out.
I have one thing to bring up.
What?
Who keeps bullets in their wallet?
This guy.
A guy who buys a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keeps bullets in his wallet.
It's an animated feature, producer.
It makes perfect sense.
You could have kept it someplace else, but in his wallet?
Dang.
Everything's dense. It's thick.
Maybe it's George Costanza.
He gets passionate about bullets and wallets.
He's got everything in his wallet. That's why he leans.
Yeah.
Like the gangster lean. Claus does. That's who.
Santa.
I actually thought the same thing, too. Bullets and wallets. It's an animated feature. I'm okay with that. Wherever you want to put them.
Right.
Just show me that the guy has bullets. Producer, why don't you lead this one off? Top three angels in films.
Probably Death Godzilla.
No!
Angel Godzilla.
Yeah.
Mothra.
Ooh, that gives me an idea for a script now. No, I got to start it off, and I know y'all are going to get ticked off because he's iconic, but Christopher Walken is Gabriel in Prophecy.
All right.
Come on.
Yeah. Right.
He's number three for me. I got two others that are better.
You can't argue with that. I mean, that's a classic.
Prophecy 2, Prophecy 3.
That's a new classic, actually. Right.
Prophecy 4.
Right.
All right.
Four.
Straight to video.
Forsaken.
He wasn't a good angel, though, was he?
He's rotten.
No, he was Gabriel. He was trying to save heaven.
Right. Oh, okay, that's right. I get my angels confused.
He had a horn.
Yeah.
I've never seen
him. Matt's looking at me like he's going to hurt me.
How about we go to Hoodie? Hoodie, number three. Top three angels in films inspired by idiots and angels. What you got?
I'm going to go for my number three. Anybody seen Defending Your Life? Anybody?
Yeah.
Enough to put it on my list.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
On my list.
So, Albert Brooks.
Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks.
That's the good one. Yeah. Love that movie.
God,
love
I haven't seen that in a long time,
that's
though.
That's a good movie, though.
Are they angels? I don't know.
She is. They're hopeful angels.
It's purgatory.
They're angels in waiting.
They were at the end because they caught the bus. So.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that was a good film.
Right, right.
Number three.
Let's go over to Hearts Up Savage Man. Number three, you know the game. You know the question. What's your answer?
I'm going to take a page out of Adam's book. I'm going to go with The Prophecy, but the opening scene of The Prophecy, there's this incredible scene. It's one of the best shots in movie history to me, where it pans up, where Eric Stoltz is sitting there, and it pans down, and he's looking at a fossilized angel.
Ooh.
Just that image of that fossilized angel, and then the camera shoots up. Love that. So the fossilized angel in the opening scene of The Prophecy.
Man, that's incredible.
Specific, too.
It's very specific.
That's that's incredible.
The fossilized angel. Yeah. Nice. Max, I want to ask you the same question, which is top three angels in film.
Number three is the angel and devil animal on animal shoulders in The Muppets.
What?
You're whipping out The Muppets.
The Muppets. Animal. Animal angel.
I concur.
Animal angel in The Muppets.
Animal angel in The Muppets.
Animal with a white thing and wings and a halo, and it's animal and it's Muppets, so I love it. And
okay.
I mean, did you see the list of movies with angels in them?
Right.
What a bunch of crap.
Maybe we shouldn't have top three bars. No, let me tell you, man. All right, that's a solid choice. You guys are getting definitive. Animal angel in The Muppets, a fossilized angel. I thought I was going to be clever when I said my number three, which is Tooth Fairy, The Rock.
Oh, is that?
That's not an angel.
That's okay,
come on.
You that's just specific. Proved my point. There are some really not good movies with angels in them.
No, but that's a good answer.
It's The Rock.
I thought, wait a second. I'm going to throw this out here. I'm going to get kickback. Well, Tooth Fairy's not an angel. It's an angel. Tooth Fairy's an angel, right?
Sure.
Technically, the character
maybe
of the...
Maybe it's a fairy.
Yeah, it's a fairy. Tooth Fairy is not an angel.
Well, he has angel wings, and I think he's from heaven, and he's like the angel of my mouth.
Or if you have a crush,
he's the angel of your mouth.
Wow.
That's a bad answer, Tooth Fairy.
But too bad. You're sticking with it.
I just wanted you to think about The Rock as a Tooth Fairy. It's funny.
Okay.
Let's get over to the producer for number two, man. Go at the next round here. Number two, angel in film is what?
Y'all like Luc Besson?
No, I don't know him.
Yeah, I like Luc Besson. Yeah, he made The Professional. Come on.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Angela from Angel A.
Nope, no, not.
Huh? I know the film. I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, remember the guy from Amelie, the guy who wanted to paint? He's in it.
Oh, that old guy.
Okay. No, not the old dude. The young guy.
The young guy with one arm.
That that guy.
Was wondering why
his
hand in his pocket.
Yeah.
Angel A?
Angel A. Have y'all not seen this?
No, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it. It's great.
Y'all should watch it.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Okay, Angel A.
I can let y'all borrow it.
Possibly. You know, you
he
have
just
a one
said
checkout.
You all like five times in the span of 30 seconds.
Well, how about you tell us number two, Hoodie?
I went with the whole baseball team from Field of Dreams.
That's ridiculous.
That was on my list.
Those are ghosts.
Are they ghosts?
That was the first one on my list.
I said no, because I don't know if they're ghosts, because they save somebody.
You do cross that line where is it ghost or angel? Right. I think ghost.
James Earl Jones was definitely an angel.
What about Christopher Lloyd, Angels in Outfield, if you want to go baseball?
I didn't want to go baseball.
I wanted to go the baseball team from Field of Dreams.
Ghosts.
And plus, we said best. That movie was stupid.
Let's go over to Savage.
Christopher Lloyd's awesome.
Let's go over to Savage. Number two. What's
I
your,
like your answer, Matt. Thank you.
What's your number two angel in film?
You're welcome.
I'm going to go with the obvious choice. I'll go with Gabriel, but Constantine Gabriel. And yes. Who played Constantine? Who played
Tilda
Gabriel?
Swinton?
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
That's right.
That was on my list, too. That was a good one.
That was a good
I like her wings when she comes out. Very androgynous.
Yeah.
Very androgynous.
Because angels are male supposed to be. Nor female.
Jeez.
Right. Like the Metronome.
Learn a little bit about angels.
They're not supposed to have wings either.
Whatever.
Sorry.
All right, my number two. You know what? He doesn't have wings, but I think it's a pretty good answer.
Cheech.
I don't think he's a ghost. I think he's more of an angel. I'm going Richard Dreyfuss and Always.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Is he a ghost?
Well, he's kind of an angel. No, he's more of an angel.
Wait. He talked to an angel.
I thought the girl was the angel.
No, he's an angel. Come on. He's down here on Earth.
No, he's... Yeah. I don't know.
Survey says...
I would call him an angel. I'd say Richard Dreyfuss in Always. Did you like that film? It's a Spielberg
But when he first
film.
Dies, he's in a field and he talks to them. You're right. That's a good answer.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was kind of teetering myself.
No, and that's a great movie. I
don't think you have to have wings to be an angel. I think there's a difference.
No, you just have to have a good heart.
No, Max, we're going over to you. Number two, Gumbo Johnson. What is it?
Warren Beatty from Heaven Can Wait.
Damn you.
And, you know, I'm like, I don't know. Is he a ghost? Is he an angel? But, again, look at the list of movies with
angels.
Isn't
on the cover art, he's an angel, right?
Yep. He's playing a saxophone. He's got wings. So he counts as an angel.
That's a remake, too.
It is a remake, but I've never seen the original.
I've seen them both.
I didn't see the original.
My number one was this, so I'm going to change it. Why don't we fly on over to the producer who's about 15 feet away? I like him there.
I do, too.
He looks good over there.
Better.
Feels good.
I like him there behind my back. Can't even see him.
Don't even have to look at him.
You like it when he's behind your back and you can't?
Nope.
Okay.
Nah.
Number seven.
Pinhead.
Huh?
Pinhead from Hellraiser. Yeah.
Of course it is.
Nailhead.
Naily face?
Nail face.
Pinhead. Angels to some, demons to others.
Are we going to veto this out, or are we going to keep it?
I don't care.
No, just let's move along.
Because technically, if you wanted, you could have picked Satan in any movie.
Right.
He's a fallen angel.
Satan
he's
is a fallen angel.
He was an angel.
I think that works. I don't know where Pinface comes in here. All right, Hoodie, number ones, and we're up to you, man. Number one, angels in film. What is it?
Number one has been said multiple times. It's Gabriel. It's the best.
Which one?
The first one, Christopher Walken.
All right.
Christopher Walken.
Nice. What's your number one, Savage?
Of course it's Clarence.
Of course it has
to
be Clarence.
It's Clarence. Somebody's got to say, attaboy, Clarence. Attaboy, Clarence.
Yeah, that's probably the definitive answer. That's probably the one anybody would choose. I kind of steered away from that. I want to see who would grab it.
Yep, me.
Somebody has to.
Yep.
Kind of like the baseball team from Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. I'm with you on that one.
Nobody went Angels in the Outfield?
Angels in film, all Field of Dreams.
Well, there's also Angels in the Outfield, too, and there's Angels in the Backfield.
The infield.
Angels in the Infield. I mean, why didn't we pick those?
Why didn't you just say Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Because he wasn't my favorite baseball player.
He's a ghost.
Okay.
You know what my number one is?
No.
No?
I don't know. I'm going to go Charlie's Angels.
Good on you, sir. Good on you, sir. That is
a
brilliant
answer. They save people.
And they're called the Angels.
Charlie's Angels. Why not?
Why not?
Do I have to pick one? I guess I'll go with Lucy Liu.
Of course.
Oh, she seemed like the most sensible angel.
No, Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore is way hotter. Yeah,
thanks, Max.
Thank you.
I'm with you, Michael.
You like that answer? Yeah, I just pulled that out. That was my backup in case break glass here answer, you know?
Yeah.
Are we over to Max?
Yes.
Yeah.
Number one? Give it to me, finish. Man. What is it? Number one to finish this off, Angels in Film, It Is What Out of Your Mouth Comes.
It's already been said. Gilda.
Gilda
Radner.
Gilda Radner.
Gabriel, Tilda Swinton from Constantine.
It's a good one, man.
The best. The best. Hands down. I mean, next to Clarence, but Clarence
good wings.
Had good wings. Looked good. Was threatening and menacing.
She was annoying.
Came right back behind The Satan by Peter Strohmeyer. It was awesome. I love that scene. It was the best scene in the whole movie.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm going to go there with you.
Thank you.
Charlie's Angels.
Attaboy, Max.
Attaboy, Max.
All right, guys. Let's end this one here. Yeah, that was our top three angels in film, inspired by the movie we talked about earlier, 2008's Idiots and Angels, animated feature.
Yep.
Queued up by the producer. Good selection.
Thank you. You're
it was
welcome.
Time to talk about some animated stuff. So there you go.
Right.
That leads us to next week.
Yeah.
And I think that bread trail crumb leads over to you, Savage. You're next in the queue. What are you going to have for us? Talk about the film.
I'm following up the animation with another animator, somebody who's renowned for animation, Terry Gilliam. But I'm going with the Terry Gilliam film, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Did you know Terry Gilliam presented this?
This? Idiots and Angels?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
He did.
Says that on the poster.
Well.
Really?
Produced or presented by... What, did he show it at his house or something?
Probably. Yeah, that's my understanding. He's got like a studio there or something.
I got a 12-seat theater. Come on in, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I never understood that. So in a way, we're having a double Terry Gilliam feature
there
here, I guess.
There you go.
And that's where this one ends. So let's put this one in the books, guys. As always, thank you for tuning into The Queue. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on the film we just discussed or anything else for that matter, you want to throw some darts at Max or James or anybody else, you can do that there. QFilmcast.net. Always happy to hear from you. So join us again next week. We're talking about Baron Munchausen. We're talking about 1988 Terry Gilliam. So we're going to cue it. We're going to review it. And until then, however you say goodnight. This time might be the last I fear. Unless I make it all too clear. I need you so much.